Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. All right, we're going to talk into the difference between ab exercises and core exercises, which could be, combined. However, there is a direct difference. And I think it's important to note because when someone is saying, oh, I have back pain, I've been told to do core exercises, a lot of times people just think ab exercises.
Totally. Right? And I think the main thing we need to start off with is defining kind of what we understand is the abs or the abdominals versus what we would define as the core. And so if we're thinking abs, I think first, right off the bat, most people are going to think six pack. When you say abs, that's almost synonymous in people's mind with six pack, which is that rectus abdominis. That's the muscle that we call commonly the six pack. And then there's a few other main layers of our abdominals, which are the obliques. We have the internal and external obliques, and then the TVA, or the transverse abdominis, which is like a big corset that hugs all the way from our ribs all the way around to our back and attaches down to our pelvis too.
Yeah, and that'd be like the deepest layer that people are really considering, to be that stabilizing core muscle that's so important for back pain, which we've talked about before. So we have done an exercise on core related exercises and back pain. Are they really related? Do you need to pay attention to it? So go listen to that episode.
And I feel like that's the TVA. That's like what PTs, all sorts of people are obsessed with. Oh, I need to get my TV activating. Well, getting your TV activating is great. And that's the first step. Then how do you dynamically use it within your core?
It's so funny. And I've been in a course actually before for physical therapy where, he had your arm out in front of you and he's like, okay, don't let me press down, and just presses down on it, right? And then he's like, okay, now really focus on your TVA and pulling that pelvic floor in and making it all so tight. And then he pushed down again and he can just basically push the person's arm down. So he's like, did that really increase stability? Does it really matter? And the reality is, it's just how can we learn ways to activate these things so that we do start using them in movement and they become functional rather than just let me stiffen my whole body for the fact of stiffening my whole body. Like, that's not functional.
Don't generally walk around like that.
No.
And even that test that he, like, I wonder, I'm like, what's the purpose of that test? Because I don't know. I wonder a lot of things about like using that to prove a point. I'm like, are you really proving your point, or are you just testing someone's shoulder strength in that type of scenario? But whatever. So core, I think the point that you're getting to here is that our shoulders, our shoulder blade, our shoulder girdle is included in the core.
Yeah.
At least how we understand it. Same with our hips and that pelvis, pelvic floor. You mentioned the pelvic floor, diaphragm, rib cage, all of that operates within this central pillar that we would call the core, right? And so rather than just learning how to tighten up a few of those muscles really well, how do we, learn how to activate them, but then use that within all these dynamic movements that we do throughout the day, like opening a door, like reaching to grab something, like picking up a child, things that are actually meaningful and purposeful for us.
Yeah, to really help reduce symptoms, help reduce hip pain, back pain, shoulder pain. All of these things happen because we can control our entire pillar from our shoulders to the pelvic floor. That is truly the core, the front, the back, the bottom, the top, like it all becomes involved. And this really helps to, come back to this concept we use in physical therapy a lot, which is getting our midline control under, stability and a stable base so that we can better use our extremities. If we're trying to just strengthen and have control from our shoulders and our arms, but we're lacking what's happening in the center, it's going to be really hard to control. And we see this a lot if people are doing exercises and all of a sudden they're getting shoulder pain, back pain, because they have zero control of what's happening from this entire pillar, and they're just trying to strengthen from the legs or from the shoulders with that lack of awareness. I mean, that's everything that we want within the core.
which in itself is an example of what we would consider a core exercise.
Yeah.
An overhead press.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't one of the three we came in like talking about, okay, these are the three examples we're going to get. But just for, I did this all the time. I clean and jerked 375 pounds in college. And it, I could just, to think about how I used to, I mean, Jen knows how I used to lift, or at least how I looked when we started dating. And I would always be way overextended in my low back, pressing whatever weight overhead, however I could get it overhead, but it was coming at the sacrifice of what I was doing in my core.
Yeah.
And now to be able to feel that strong, stable pillar, yes, dynamic. I mean, we're not robots. We're not standing in just one solid, strict position. So I can get some extension through my back as I'm going up, but I still have that central stability through from my rib cage to my pelvis as I go into a full overhead press.
Yeah. Lifting is a huge way to get core work happening, but it comes at the awareness of what you have internally within your body. Like, that is everything. That's when it can become so powerful, is when you understand how to breathe and lift, when you understand how to hold that rib cage and core. Sometimes I think we jump too quickly to using a belt around us for stability before learning how to really engage through the core to really hold you. I'm not saying a weight belt is bad. I think that it can be extremely useful, especially when you're getting into super heavy weights. However, I think sometimes we rely on that for our stability rather than our internal support. And I think we have to build that internal support, understand how that works, feel that at a heavier weight, and then use a weight belt just to continue to progress.
Especially if you're somebody who's just trying to learn how to lift for function and lift for daily maintenance of your own body and back pain. You shouldn't be thinking about throwing a belt on when you're going to do your general deadlifts or squats in the gym. Like, your goal is to be able to do it during your everyday life, and you're not going to throw a weight belt on when you bend down to pick up groceries. Like, you're going to just need to bend down and pick up the dang groceries. So we want to find ways. This is what Jen and I always focus on. How can we do it internally rather than using some sort of external device, external technique? Mm-hmm. Like, we need to teach and empower independence in your movement. That being said, there can be a place for ab exercise to get to that journey, to build that initial awareness of activation before we jump into something more complex and dynamic, like an actual lift. So, three core exercises.
Ab.
We'll start with ab. Three ab exercises. Let's go. First, everyone talks about the crunch and, oh, don't do crunches. It's bad for your back. There are ways to effectively do crunches and activate all of those different layers of abs. And I think that one of the primary things that Jen teaches in, that I definitely do now, is trying to focus on bringing that point on your chest bone. I've got a nice pigeon chest, so I got a nice little point here. Try bring that directly up towards the ceiling as you're doing your crunch, rather than crunching towards your knees, right? Because then you're going to actually be getting that action of just trying to compress from the rib cage down to the pelvis and keep everything else stable.
Yeah, it allows you, and it kind of forces you to have to use that transverse abdominis a little bit more to create that stability from that pelvis to the rib cage, rather than just crunching and using the rectus abdominis. It's not bad to just use the rectus abdominis. There's a time and place for it, of course. However, when we start to overuse just that six pack muscle, that's when we're going to put a lot of pressure on that fascia that's right on the in the middle, which is called our linea alba. And when that pressure is only being directed in one place out toward that linea fascia and not out toward the back, the sides, the obliques, the pelvic floor, like without everything working together, we can start to get some separation, and it can become dysfunctional, lead to back pain, lead to different symptoms that we might be having. It's not always bad. However, if we're not learning how to control that pressure in the front, we're only using that rectus abdominis on all ab exercises, you might notice there's like, it becomes like a teepee, and it almost looks like a point that's just popping out from your muscles. Now, granted, as you use ab exercises, the rectus abdominis will rise. It will contract. So this kind of gets a little lifted. However, if you're noticing a pressure disbursement that's not necessarily quote unquote normal or ideal, less than ideal, then you'll notice a like a teepee, a point kind of coming up in the abs. And I've seen that with friends that I've worked out with that I'm like, oh, not controlling the pressures all that well. Would you be open to modifying and trying something different?
And there are people online who you'd look at and be like, wow, they have really strong abs or they have a really strong core. But, and again, yes, they may have great strength there. They just might not know how to coordinate it all together. I mean, I have a degree of that separation. Maybe if we do some good B-roll, we can try showing you on our YouTube, like a little bit of my teepee that I get poking out. But even within that crunch, you can start engaging those obliques a little bit more by just sticking one arm out towards the ceiling. And as you press that, you know, sternum towards the ceiling, kind of lean more into one of the arms. And I mean, look out, we're already starting to talk core, but that's going to get you activating through that shoulder blade a little bit more. So we're starting to incorporate more
abs
of the core.
Yeah.
But it's going to help us get into the obliques.
Yeah.
So second core exercise that you might see all the time.
Yeah. Another really famous one, especially if you go to physical therapy, is going to be like, or Pilates, is your supine marches. So that supine meaning laying on your back, and then marching meaning you're not necessarily moving from the chest at all, but you're marching one knee up and then the other knee up. Or maybe you start at more of a tabletop position with your shins parallel to the ground and your knees bent, and then you tap one heel down and the other heel down. So those are examples of kind of controlling that lower abdominal. A lot of people trying to target more of the transverse abdominis. However, if you have hip popping, if you have if you notice that your back starts to take over in pressure, or your hips kind of wobble side to side as you're doing that exercise, you might not be stabilizing as much as you want to in that transverse abdominis. You might be activating a little bit more through the hip flexor, the quad tendon even. And you might feel quad burning if you're doing those exercises. And even your back is maybe activating a little bit more than the transverse. So, I mean, we talk about this so much in the Optimal Body, because that in the membership that I have, because that is truly my goal, is to get you out of the normal practices of kind of activating the back and the hip flexors and teaching you how to be aware of that pelvic floor. What is that transverse abdominis? What does it feel like in your hands? How can you feel it, you know, when you're activating through exercise? So you start to activate it normally when you sneeze, when you cough, when you laugh.
Yeah. And like you said, we do it in the Optimal Body tons. So it's not like we're hating on ab exercises.
No.
There's definitely a huge place to use that as that kind of education of, oh, this is how I activate all these things. And even heel tap variations, they start to get more and more and more complex, to the point where we might start to consider them more of a core exercise. Like if we're doing really high level dead bugs or certain types of dead bugs, you're incorporating a lot more of the core. It's not very functional, but it's a lot more complex in that matter. So then the third ab exercise that we were going to talk about, and you might see people doing this at the gym with like some sort of pull down machine, is those ab pull downs, where they're kind of just holding the weight in their hands by their shoulders, usually on your knees, and kind of pulling your chest down
and
towards
crunching.
Your knees. You're crunching against gravity, but the weight is kind of pulling you up. And again, not inherently bad if you're doing it in a controlled manner, but it's going to be something that helps you put a lot of resistance through that
rectus abdominis
if you're trying to hit that six pack.
Exactly. I mean, I'm a fan of bending the spine. So the abs help you to bend the spine. That's just reality, right? So I used to be like, oh, never doing sit-ups, never doing crunches, never doing, you know, that ab pull down. But I've come to respect it a lot more and appreciate what it does. We're working certain muscles, we're creating range of motion within the spine. That's beautiful. That's great. And the reality is, especially when you become a mom and you got to pop out of bed really quickly, what are you going to do? Roll to your side, sit up nice and... No, you're going to sit up. Like you're going to do a sit up. So having function of your abs is a good thing. So we're definitely not against it at all. We're for working your abs. However, we're also for getting control of your entire core. So let's go into those exercises.
Core exercises. Great. This is when we start looking into things like planks. Because a plank is going to have you activating all the way from hips to shoulders and throughout the entire core.
Entire body, really. It's like
yes.
your
I mean, wrists,
especially
if you're
on your feet.
If you're on your feet and on your hands, yes, it's going to be all the way down through your ankles, your shins.
Your knees hands, are tight, so your quads are working.
Wrists, everything. So especially how Jen talks up and builds up a plank, it's really going to get you activating all throughout your whole body. And then we talk about different side plank variations. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to really help us work that side line with our abductors on the outsides of our hips through our QL and the sides of our, you know, core or the side of our abdomen and the obliques. So,
yeah, I mean, your shoulder blades are really firing up on a plank, which is why I love plank variations. You talk about shoulder stability work, do a plank. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just about the core. It's not just about the abs, I should say. And the way that you can feel the abs most is when you're focusing on the breath, which is cool because then you bring in the diaphragm. You know, doing really long exhales in a plank, you're going to be firing up the front of those abs even more. Squeezing those glutes, so you're getting the pelvis, the pelvic floor, the shoulder blades, like everything. That's truly a core exercise. And something to really start to build that resiliency and strength throughout the entire body.
Yeah, I'd say similar to planks, but slightly different is crawling. That would be the number two core exercise. And I love crawling. I love different bear crawls because it gets you activating similarly to planks, but you can be really dynamic with it and you can start to move around. Mm-hmm. And I love doing even just static holds when you're in kind of that quadruped position or on your toes and on your hands. But then you can start to crawl to the side or crawl forward. And then it helps you work on kind of that anti-rotation. But again, that gets you pressing into your opposite hand and opposite foot, like we do when we're up walking, right? So it starts to incorporate that reciprocal movement, arm and leg, arm and leg.
Yeah, so huge. And it's great for the brain to, like, talk about a core exercise that's going to help back pain. Something that relates to everyday movement, which is opposite arm, opposite leg moving. And that's when things like that crawling and walking forward, walking backward, walking side to side can become so great for the body because, again, you're working from the shoulders all the way down to the hips, but you're also getting the body and the brain back in this this movement of one and then the other. And it's kind of helping to connect that nerve pattern so that your body starts to feel more comfortable and relaxed in that movement. And then the last core exercise we kind of already mentioned, which was lifting. And almost any kind of load, external load that you put on your body, it doesn't have to be a heavy barbell even, you know, it could be a weight. So we could talk about goblet squats, like you're squeezing. You shouldn't have your arms out to the side, I should say, for goblet squat. You should be pulling your elbows down. So now I'm contracting and I'm using my shoulder blades, my lats. I really activated my core because I'm pulling my rib cage down, getting everything in position. And then I'm squatting. I'm using my legs, my hips, like everything is really working. Even if I used a resistance band, you know, like any load that you're putting on your spine is a core exercise. And what drove me wild one time was when someone said, oh, well, you know, I have scoliosis. So my doctor said never to load my spine. And not to use weights. And I'm like, you load your spine the moment you get out of bed.
Yeah. Just to sit up or just to stand. I mean, you're loading your spine, which again, maybe the doctor wasn't meaning that type of loading. Maybe he's meaning lifting. But again, throughout life, you're going to need to lift things. You're going to need to do a quote deadlift when you go to lift a suitcase that's 20 pounds. Or, I mean, one of my favorite types of core type lifts is carries. Any sort of carry, if you're just holding, especially unbalanced, where you have just a weight in one hand, because that way it's going to want to throw your, you know, your center of mass off to one side, so you need to use your core to correct. Or doing overhead carries, anything that is carry related, I just love. Maybe it's because I grew up in Minnesota around all the farms, so I love the farmer carries. But
it really creates resiliency within the body because we're building the strength around the entire spine. That's only going to help your back, scoliosis or not. I have scoliosis. I lift with barbells. I lift with dumbbells. I lift with kettlebells. I lift with all the things because I want my body to be resilient in all of the ways and really help to build that strength. And we know that when we load our body, we're loading our bone as well, which is helping to prevent osteoporosis and weakening of our system. You know, we're going to age. That's normal in life, but we build the resiliency by loading the body. We need load.
Yeah. So abs versus core, I think, again, there's a place for both of them, but we always kind of want to move towards that function. And what's our goal here? Is our goal to get out of back pain just to get out of back pain, or is our goal to get out of back pain so that we feel comfortable getting into our car again, doing what we need to do at work, lifting things up, playing with our grandkids without being in that debilitating
pain. Twisting.
Everything. Again, bending and twisting to do what? To go out and ice skate, to go out and whatever it may be. So have some purpose with the core or the ab exercises that you're doing, and at least try to know, okay, I'm doing this so that I can work towards X.
If you're still confused on what I mean by different pressures or dispersing pressures, making sure you're getting that pelvic floor, the shoulder blades, that all the things that make up this core really work well, I talk about this in so much detail in the Optimal Body membership. And depending on when you're listening to this, that might still be available, or the Gen app, which this is just gen.health. If you haven't gone to this website in general, just everyone, please go to gen.health, sign up, get into it. It's going to be a beautiful place to just continue to learn about your body and relieve aches and pains. But for right now, at least, we have the Optimal Body membership where there's a core specific from core 1 to core 4 in every single month that really takes you through, here's your foundation and here's how you progressively build upon it. And it's, everyone loves core 1, core 2, especially. Like, you don't even have to do core 3 and core 4 throughout the entire program, and you get so much out of it and feel heaps different.
And the awesome thing is, even if you just go and sign up for the Optimal Body membership, you will still get access into the Gen platform. So, bonus. So, go check those out, again, wherever we're at right now. And keep on learning more about that core. Again, I was a PT for a while before I met Jen. And once I met Jen, it completely revamped how I thought of my core and how I worked my core. And I'm still continuing to learn. So I feel like no matter how much you research and study this stuff, even if it's your profession, there's always more to learn.
Always.
So there we go, the difference between abs and core. And like I was saying in the episode, I don't think I really figured this out until I got into PT school. Even since I've met Jen, I continue to learn more and more about how I can dynamically incorporate core activation throughout my daily life. And of course, if you're watching the episode on YouTube, you saw the amazing set behind us with our new PRX equipment. And if you're looking to support us and the podcast, you can always go down to the link in the show notes and check out PRX equipment if you're looking for any of your in-home needs for working out, whether it's dumbbells, barbells, slam balls, kettlebells. They have everything, and they have really cool storage options with everything that just stores up on the wall, even racks that completely fold into the wall. So go down to the show notes, check them out. Of course, we always ask that if you can subscribe to the podcast on your favorite listening platform, leave us a review, share this out to all of your friends and family, and we will see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast.